Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Reacting to last night's first round and getting you set for day two of the Fan's virtual draft party later tonight. Presented by Coors Light. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It was a draft night unlike any other. And I've covered now, 23 of them? And it was unique. And what made it so unique was the whole Aaron Rodgers report that you broke. That soon gained national traction, and people were. Newsweek wrote an article
online based on it.
Now, it didn't happen yet,
right?
But it certainly got a lot of people excited, and I guess predictably disappointed because it didn't happen. It didn't come to fruition last night, which leads to. Some people who are mad at you. So here you go. Just a little sampling.
All right, good.
Just to get you all hot and lathered here. From Ron, an anonymous source, stinks this sounds like a fabricated story to boost ratings. I'm on to you.
Who's that?
Ron.
Hey, Ron, how do I boost above number one? My ratings are higher than anybody's in any station in anywhere in Colorado. So how do I get above number one?
Another one. Stink, you're an ass. Irresponsible reporting. Your little birdie is full of bleep.
Okay, one, I am an ass. I'll give you that.
You'll own that.
Yeah, that's whole milk.
You're not room.
Yeah, I will give you that. I can be a real ass. Two, my source is impeccable. Impeccable. Same source let me know that the Broncos were playing a game without a quarterback before it ever broke. Okay? Impeccable. And just because it didn't happen last night doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And, oh, by the way, so my source unsolicited came to me. I wasn't out there. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a newsbreaker.
You weren't working the phones last night?
Like I said on Colin Cowherd, man, I'm not trying to break news. I'm just trying to break wind without soiling myself. Like, that's my goal in life. But if somebody reaches out to me that I have 100% faith in. 100% faith in. And says, hey man, this is close to being a done deal. What am I, like, am I supposed to just hold it in? I called you. I was like, oh man, this is what I'm hearing.
Right. You're like, what should I do? I'm like, you're call in.
Yeah. So, and then unsolicited on top of it. An hour later, after all this stuff, and I didn't tweet it initially. I didn't do anything. You know, I just came on the air. I told people what I heard, and then Tyler's texting it, tweeting it, and D-Max tweeting it, and everybody's tweeting it, and then it's like wildfire. Man, I went up, like, my social media feed went up 2,000 followers, you know, it was just going crazy. And the bottom line is, unsolicited, like an hour later, Aaron Rodgers texts me. How'd you hear? Who's your source in Denver? I'm not telling you who my source is, and my source isn't in Denver. He's like, oh, all right. And I go, is it true?
now you are a reporter.
Yeah, and I'm like, you want to give me some insight? And he goes, and no, but you know, he said, no, it's not. He did not confirm nor deny.
And then give the line. Cause you show me folks, I've seen the text and
it just
sure sounds like Aaron Rodgers. So go ahead. But what did he say? In there. Cause I'll let you.
What do you want to know?
The one where you'll know.
Oh yeah. Then so we went back and forth and I just thought it was interesting that he asked me who my source was in Denver. Like, who told you? And then I said it wasn't. It was outside the state. And he said, okay. And then there was nothing. And then I'm like, is it true? And he's like, listen, here's the deal. I promise you. You'll know when I know. But players have incredible. I know Green Bay came out and said, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to keep Aaron Rodgers. Of course that's what you say. Of course if a guy's disgruntled, that's you're going to try to fix it. Did you fix it by going out and getting a cornerback at the end of the first round? Did you fix it last year? Like, he has been, this thing has gone on, this little internal feud has gone on probably since 2017 with the powers that be at Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. And it came to a head last year when they drafted Jordan Love and said to the public that they talked to Aaron Rodgers about it. And Aaron Rodgers said, baloney. They never said anything to me. He's pissed, man.
All right, so let's piece all this together.
All right.
You have on ESPN, they said nothing was imminent, but nobody came out and said that all is good between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Nobody. In fact, Chris Mortensen came out and said, he goes, it's my understanding that this relationship is past the point of being salvaged.
Uh-huh.
He's likely to be moved. They don't want to be in the NFC, which means AFC,
right.
Most likely out west, most likely Raiders or Broncos. Then you got Aaron Rodgers himself texting you. Again, you didn't reach out to him.
Right.
He reached out to you and did not pour cold water on it at all. At all. So, and then you have the Packers, who, if you are so hell-bent on trying to save this relationship with Aaron Rodgers, you go out in the first round and draft a cornerback.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That'll make him happy.
When you've been, you know that in the, I think it was the last 10 years in the first round, when you had the greatest quarterback in the history of the league, one of the greatest quarterbacks, not the greatest, but one of the greatest top four or five quarterbacks in the history of the league. Not just this decade, but in the history of the league. In the last 10 years, they've drafted in the first round 9 defensive players and Jordan Love. 9 defensive players and Jordan Love. That's been their first round commitment. And, hey man, you don't feel the love. I want to win a championship and I want to win it now, and I don't feel love in Green Bay later.
Hey, look, even I was like, for a while there, I was starting to wonder, how good is your source there, Mark? You know, I mean, I trust you, big fella, but, you know, come on. But then when you're, you know, hey, guys, Aaron Rodgers just texted me. I went, all right. Buddy of mine reached out and goes, now that's a major flex right there.
Right, right.
I mean, that's a major flex right there. Okay. Right. So where do the Broncos go? Now at the quarterback position, is it Drew Lock, Teddy Two Gloves, Decision 3.0? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
It was so much fun. I always enjoy our draft coverage because we're all together but not together. You know, we're all spread out, but through the magic of technology, and I gotta give Richie credit because you talk about it, he had like 25 balls in the air at the same time. I mean, he had like 10 of us on standby and just, you know, one after another getting us all on and weighing in, and it went off seamless, and it was really good. It was fun, but to me, I mean, it's no secret. You know how D-Mac and I go back and forth over this whole quarterback thing. And he had me dead to rights, right? I mean, there they are. They're at 9.
Right.
Fields is on the board.
And everybody was like, oh, they take him. They take him. They take him. They take him. They take him.
You know,
I think they're going to. What did I say? I think they're going to take a football player.
Right.
And everybody's like, well, I go, well, you know, a non-quarterback.
Right,
a real
right,
football
right.
player.
Right. And, you know, and I was stubborn to the end. They're like, well, what do you want, Evans? I'm like, I don't want him to take Justin Fields. I want him to take Micah Parsons, right? So he is the moment Carolina picked and did not take Fields. He is like celebrating.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's like ready to break down in tears.
Right.
He said he was shaking. And then he got mouthy with me. Then he's like, ah, ha. He said, he goes, we tried it your way, Evans. And it didn't work. And now we're going to try it my way. He sounded like your classic evil villain in a movie or cartoon.
Oh, hell, let's just do what we always do. Hijack some nuclear weapons and hold the world hostage.
Right? Right?
Little Dr. Evil.
Right? Little D-Mac Dr. Evil, right?
Yeah.
And then they make the Patrick Surtain pick, and it's just like, I never heard a guy go from the highest of highs to just despondent, right? And
right.
So now he's just mad, right? Now he's mad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mad that Justin Fields didn't get picked. So then Philadelphia trades up. And he's like, oh, well, this is for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
They're going to get Justin Fields. And here we go. Get ready for the pick.
It's so much for your khaki pants, Mike.
So much for your khaki pants guy, Jalen Hurts. And then they took the receiver. and at that point, I am just like, at that point, it's like good has won over evil and the evil villain has to slink off.
You'll win this time, D-Man, but I'll be back.
Little Skeletor.
Might have gotten away with it, too. It wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Oh, little D-Mac. He got... Oh, there it is. Hey, you know what? You got so much to learn. Little D-Mac.
Little
D-Mac. Wait, let me get to the chorus.
We gotta get to the chorus.
All right, here we go. Look. You will always be a fool, a little D-Mac.
All right.
I'm sorry, D-Mac, I don't mean that. It was just fun.
Oh, I know. We have fun. I mean, it was.
You know what, Mike? You know a little bit about me. I am a really good loser, but I'm a bad winner, and I just feel like I won. Oh.
The reaction was priceless. The reaction from him was priceless. Everybody reacted in kind of a similar way, but his was just, I mean, it literally went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows.
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny.
Oh, poor little fella. But like, hey, did we get, can you text Richie and get him to go check on D-Mac? I'm a little bit nervous. I feel a little bit bad. Dude, he was so sure. So sure. But everybody in this town was like, hey, listen, if Justin Fields falls to the Broncos, George Payton will take him. Was that not the report by every guy who covers the Broncos locally?
Yes.
You know, that was everybody's report. Was this is what was going to happen?
I was ready for it. I was mentally steeled for the idea that I was going to hear, you know, with the Roger Goodell say with the ninth pick, you know, the Denver Broncos select, and I was just prepared for it. And when he said Pat Surtain, I went, whoa. But again, then my first thought was, okay, this pick was made for Green Bay. And look, for all the people who are all angry at George Payton and the honeymoon is over and, you know, we become Minnesota Vikings, Rocky Mountain version,
Okay, let me ask you this.
I trust your sources,
and I think
Aaron Rodgers will be in play. And look, there's a very good chance that Patrick Surtain is going to end up being a Green Bay Packer here.
Well, even if he doesn't, let me just ask you this. Do you, in fact, feel like odds? Do you, in fact, feel that Aaron Rodgers will not play for the Packers?
This year.
Do you feel like they will trade Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Okay. I think most people feel like he would trade. And if you listen to all the national reporters, they all say it seems imminent. He's going to be traded. Okay. They don't want to trade him into the NFC, correct? So there's two places where Aaron Rodgers gave you that he could be traded. Denver, Vegas. Those are the two places. If you feel like he's going to be traded, and there are two, like, I get these people like, it didn't happen. See, you ruined my life, right? I'm like, whoa, slow down now. Slow down. Have they put a moratorium on trades after today?
Right.
Pick number 9, you can no longer trade in the NFL.
Right.
Right? Like, something is going to go down. I don't know what it is. My source that I trust says they think it's going down in Denver, and it's pretty reliable.
All right. And we'll talk about this in Fort Wayne territory. Two questions I want answered.
Okay.
Why did the Broncos go to such great lengths to pour cold water on it yesterday? And two, why did Aaron Rodgers wait so long to make his demands known? Why did he do it like hours before the draft? We'll answer that. Four Down Territory next.
I want Mason Glory help.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First Down.
With the 9th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, Denver Broncos select Pat Surtain, Jr., defensive back, Alabama.
So help me out with this one, Mark. When we went into the whole offseason, everybody agreed the Broncos had holes to fill at corner.
Yeah.
Then they went out in free agency and made all the moves, but while they were all very well received, people were very excited, everyone also acknowledged, hey, these are short-term deals. These are one- and two-year deals. So, in a division where you go up against Patrick Mahomes twice, Justin Herbert twice, and even Derek Carr twice, why are people so down on the idea of getting arguably the best corner in the draft?
Because they have a fear of missing out, and what if Justin Fields, who is there, what if he becomes a great quarterback? What if he becomes Russell Wilson? And so, you know, everybody has this, again, fear of missing out, this desire, and this misnomer that every guy taken in the first round is a future Hall of Famer.
It's so
ridiculous.
Folks, here's the thing. 5 quarterbacks win the first round. Okay? 5 quarterbacks. Here's what will happen. 1 will be great.
Okay.
2 will be good/okay. 2 will be bus. Book it. Count on it. That's the history of the last 20 years in this league. When it comes to quarterbacks who go in the top 10, it's about a 75% failure rate. I'd say there's only 6 to 7 quarterbacks who've been drafted in the last 20 years where you can point to and say, that guy
right.
Absolutely transformed, lifted, and changed, and carried a franchise.
Think about this.
That's it.
In the history of the league, even go back to the 83 draft, there's only been one time where that wasn't true, Mike. Only one time. It was the year that Eli Manning, Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger came out in the first round. And all three of those guys are potentially future Hall of Famers. Other than that, there's, you know, for every Elway, Marino, and Kelly, you had a Tony Eason, a Todd Blackledge, and I guess Ken O'Brien was okay.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, yeah. And yesterday, this was the first time 3 quarterbacks went 1-2-3 since the immortal trio of
Achilles Smith,
Tim Couch, and Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
One of them
turned out to be really, really good.
Yeah.
The other two.
Hall of good, not the Hall of Fame.
Other two are busts. And that's the way it goes. So Justin Fields may work out, but you know, this is just one giant Russian roulette game when it comes to quarterbacks. I mean, you don't know. So stop speaking in such absolutes like, oh, they blew it. Justin Fields is going to be. You don't know.
Right.
History tells us he won't be. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
As we go down this road, I think it's I think you got to keep in mind, you know, how much we want Aaron to be here and how important he is to our organization. So I think, like I said, I'm optimistic, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. He said it and didn't seem very convincing. And then they show how much they love Aaron Rodgers by drafting a cornerback in the late in the first round. Hey, here's my only point about Aaron Rodgers. Okay. You want out of Green Bay. And you make your unhappiness known. Why do you do it on draft day? Literally hours before the draft, when a deal like that to try to put together is so difficult. All the moving parts, the players involved. Heck, there probably would have to be some kind of talk about a contract, reworking, renegotiating the contract. So why wait until literally the 0 hour?
Well, I mean, I don't know what went down. I know he's been unhappy for a while.
That's my point. Then why wait till now?
But what have you been trying? You've diligently been trying to work it out. They said that one of the representatives from the Packers flew out to California to meet with him, talk to him. And what if what you heard from that guy was just so egregious in your mind that you're just like, that's it. I am done. That's the final straw. You know, you sent somebody out and that guy said, hey, listen, man, we're going to fortify the defense. You'll be fine. And you just were like, that's it. You know what? You guys go ahead and play with your Jordan Love. Good luck with that. I'm out. I'm done.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. This is what I wanted all along, and I can't wait to play for really the greatest franchise in NFL history. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it.
That's not well received here. You got all the booze.
Yeah.
That's Squishy Mac.
Large curd.
Large curd.
He's fat.
I told you it would happen. And sure enough, this morning, ESPN did a side-by-side picture of Tom Brady's combine.
Tom Brady's.
Where he looked fat.
Yeah. Tom Brady's ripped compared to large curd.
And Squishy Mac.
Squishy Mac.
With his shirt off after the championship game, they looked identical.
I am so stressed out. Where's my Squishy Mac? Oh, gosh.
But again, you know, this is where the draft Knicks had a rough night. You know, like, you know, Justin Fields, right? You know, Justin Fields is going to, he's, you know, earlier in the week, Vegas had him as one of the favorites to go to San Francisco at 3. You know, and then all teams are going to move up to 5 or 7. You know, the Broncos are going to have to move up to get him. The Patriots are really interested, are talking about moving up for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Denver had him on the board, passed. He was still on the board at 11. It wouldn't have been that much for New England to move up from 15 to 11 if they really wanted Justin Fields. Instead, they passed. So, I don't know.
Chicago moved up to 11 to get him.
No, I know, but New England could have been in on that, too.
You're right. I think New England was happy. I mean, New England, you have to understand that Bill Belichick had Nick Saban on his staff in Cleveland.
Yes.
They are tighter than, you know, mouse, you know what. So, mouse testicles.
Yes,
really tight.
I knew that.
That means they're friends. And so, you know, I mean, those two programs are very similar. And you know, you've got Bill Belichick's got the greatest intel ever on Alabama players.
Yes. Why he keeps drafting them all the time.
Right.
So, we'll see. I mean, remember, poor Justin Fields, he already has one strike against him. He's going to the place where quarterbacks go to die. Chicago.
Boy, if you could resurrect the quarterbacking legacy of, I mean, when was the last, like, Sid Luckman?
Jay Cutler. Big shoes to fill there, Justin.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Before Vic and I came out here, we just sat with the scouts, and we really like our board for our second pick. We're picking eighth in the round, I believe, and there's eight players we really like. So we're going to get a good player tomorrow.
Hey, listen, for all of you who are upset.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
For all of you who are upset that George Payton didn't take Justin Fields, you have your representative here this morning in Millennial Ben. He's very upset. He's very upset with George Payton.
Aggravates the stew out of me.
I mean, the honeymoon is over.
That's right.
Millennial Ben is like, bring back Elway.
Boy, I it's been interesting because George Payton has gone through these, like this up and down kind of 1 minute. Wow, we got George Payton. He's a grinder. He's a film study guy. Comes to work at 4. And then, you know, everybody's happy. And then he makes a couple of, I hate this guy. He sucks. He's awful. Then he made, oh, wait, he's great again. Now he sucks again. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
He made no secret of the fact that Elway was involved. He brought up John quite a bit.
Did he?
Yeah. We'll play some of that audio for you.
Okay, good.
How'd that work out?
Well, we're fixing to find out.
Yeah,
we're
fixing to find out.
What do you hope they do today? The eighth pick in the,
Who cares?
Okay. See,
it's draft, already over.
Draft's already over for Millennial Ben. Nothing can salvage this draft.
No. It's over. I would hope. What do they do? Is today the second and third round? Is that what today is?
Yes.
Yeah. I would hope that they get some speedy middle linebacker.
Mike, I really don't care.
Man, come on.
Come on, little shaver.
Little buckaroo. Come on.
Do I
now.
Need to sing you the D-Max song again to make you happy? I love the hook. The hook is the best part, right? When it comes to little D-Max.
So I see you when I
You are so mean.
I know. All right, here we go. Here we go. Are you ready? All right, little D-Max. And I want you to be my quarterback. I want you to be my from now on. Although you're 5'2". Oh, D-Max. You're a quarterback in pool, little D-Mac.
I mean.
Oh, it just flows like the salmon of Capistrano.
I should really, really thoroughly be enjoying this, but part of me has a little sympathy for it. The guy was crushed.
There's not even any lyrics
do you,
there.
Really quick, Benny. Do you have it? Do you know, I listened to it. This was his reaction after the Surtain pick. Do we have it? Do you have it? Here we go. This is awesome.
Where am I?
Look,
if the Aaron Rodgers deal happens,
okay, he's a genius. Until then, I am absolutely defeated.
Oh, my God. Why?
Sounds like dance security.
What are we doing?
Here's my Patrick Surtain.
Wow. I can't tell the difference of where D-Mac ends and Nancy Kerrigan begins.
Why?
Oh gosh!
Oh, I really wanted to give him a hug last night. I really did. He was crushed. All right, much more reaction. Also, we'll talk some Rockies with Spilly. Ryan Spielborgs joins us next.
Why?
All right. Well, most of us were focused on the draft. I also had the Rockies game on, and it looked good last night. They were leading for a while, but then they coughed it up. Ryan Spielborgs, our Rockies analyst, brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino, joins us now. Spilly, good morning.
Good morning. I was focused on the draft, too. I was waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come to Denver.
Oh, wouldn't that? It'll be great when it happens, Spilly. It's going to be great when it happens. We'll see.
It's got to happen, right?
I hope so. I hope so, but we'll see. Hey, real quick, level of concern, starting pitching has been really good. Last couple of starts, back-to-back with Marquez and Sensatella, not so good. You know, obviously, how concerned are you about that aspect of this Rockies club? Because it had been really good up to the last couple of nights.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference, right? Is when they go on the road, their margin for error, because the roster in comparison to some of, you know, other teams right now is just not as good. And that's as blunt as you could possibly be, is they have to do the little things. Like, when you have second and third, nobody out, and you're caught looking, that can't happen. You can't be caught looking with a strikeout on a pitch that's you're capable of putting in play, especially with the infield back. So it's like, it's those things as a team, as a unit, because the pitching is really good. The pitching's surprisingly way better than most people think. And, you know, we've been talking about how good the starting pitching is. And when you, like last night was a great example. You miss out on some team at bats, you don't add a couple runs, your starter doesn't go more than five, and then that's how the Rockies are. Basically, it's a crapshoot at that point to see if you have a chance to win it. So that's not a recipe for wins, and it kind of reflects the 1-9 road record this season, because those margins and those team at bats, they just haven't been there.
Billy, we've heard this for years, how difficult it is playing at altitude and then having to go out on the road and adjust. The breaking pitches have a little bit more bite, and hitters struggle. You experienced it. Is it real or is it a myth?
Oh, it's real. I mean, it's definitely real, but it's also, you know, I had years where I was really good on the road. I mean, like my home road splits, I was better on the road than I was at home. It's a little bit mindset. It's a little bit, for me, when I look back and I think back on it, you know, there's certain criteria of a hitter that are necessary when you go on the road. You know, the chase percentage, and I keep talking about that because it's such a big deal when it comes to our sport. I mean, like, I guess it'd be the equivalent of, you know, like the arm swing of a quarterback or a release time, like trying to get it out of the pocket really quick, like Aaron Rodgers. But like, I'm thinking more for baseball. Like, when you're not chasing and you're on the road, you get better pitches to hit over the course of being on the road. And yeah, I mean, the biggest misnomer about hitting at Coors is that you think everybody's going to hit homers. It's not that. It's you can get jammed and a ball falls in front of the outfield. You get jammed on the road and it's an out. So in your mind, you think you have to square everything up. Like, I have to hit a line drive. I have to square it up. Otherwise it's not a hit. And that's where it starts to snowball on these hitters, is because they chase to begin with. And then they think they have to square everything up, which is just not true. Yeah. You can hit the ball normal. You can still get jammed. You can still find some hits, but it's not as frequently as you do at Coors.
Obviously last week, general manager stepped down, Jeff Breidich. I would say, have you polished up your resume what do you want to see the Rockies do from that standpoint as far as moving forward as an organization?
Yeah, no, I didn't polish up my resume. You know, wait for the body to get cold. What I'd like to see happen, I think, is a mixture of kind of what I see as a trend within Major League Baseball. You know, the more people, better off you are. I mean, like, you can look at some of the best run, you know, baseball franchises. It has multiple high quality general managers, right? Like the Dodgers a couple of years ago, they had Jed Hoyer, they had Andrew Friedman, they had Farhan Zaidi, they had Alex Anthopoulos. That's four high quality general managers all working in the same front office. So, I think different perspectives are really important. I think collaboration is important. And I also think people that don't say yes to everything is important. So I'd like to see a couple people from the outside. I also think there's people within. I mean, there's good people within the Rockies front office that are highly capable of putting together a quality team. But if I'm looking at trends around the league, I would certainly try to pluck some bright thinkers from other organizations to get that perspective.
All right, Spilly. Hey, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Enjoy.
All right, just text me when Rogers comes.
Okay.
Oh, he'll know. Yeah. He'll know first.
I'll let you know.
Ryan Spielborg's our Rockies analyst, brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Speaking of baseball, great time to give you a chance to win MLB The Show 21. Create your own dream team in Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legend and current stars. It's fun for hardcore or casual baseball fans. You can play all 162 games. Just drop in for the biggest moments of the postseason. MLB The Show 21 is now out on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. We're giving away a free copy for PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do to enter to register to win is register for the free Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter with news columns, game recaps, and more. Sign up at denverfan.com. Get all kinds of great information, plus a chance to win MLB The Show 21. Let's get back to some of your text reaction. A lot of reaction pouring into the draft. Broncos sealed their fate for a 5-12 season, and Evans celebrates because he owned DMAC. I'm not... I'm sorry, folks. I just cannot summon up the same angst or anger that so many of you have about where the Broncos are currently at with their quarterback position. First of all, the idea that you missed out on guaranteed greatness in Justin Fields is a myth. It's a myth. The overwhelming facts are that he's more likely to be a bust than he is going to be a star. And this whole bit about, oh no, you know, they're going to look back on Justin Fields the same way they looked on Josh Allen. You know, if your whole idea behind going after quarterbacks is FOMO, fear of missing out, thank God your general manager doesn't think that way. I give George Payton a lot of credit. I didn't think he'd have the stones to have not one but two quarterbacks sitting there at nine. He passes on both of them. I mean, that took some onions. Double order.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I just look. You know, so many of you just want to bury Drew Locke. I've been saying since October, give the guy a chance to make a jump in year three. Cover yourself with a veteran quarterback who can at least compete, and if Locke beats him out, slides effortlessly into a mentor-type role. All right, you did that with Teddy Bridgewater. You are still in prime position for when, not if, when Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, assuming he moves past his legal issues, become available. And by all reports, both those quarterbacks, Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, have the Broncos very high up on their list. Oh, by the way, anybody really believe that the Russell Wilson Seattle Seahawk marriage is good to go and fixed and there are no issues there? I don't buy that. And well, who is one of the teams that was on Russell Wilson's wish list? Chicago. Chicago already went out and got Justin Fields. My point being, and then even if Locke doesn't work out, if Bridgewater doesn't work out, if the Broncos don't end up with either Rodgers, Wilson, or Watson, guess what? A year from now, there'll be five more shiny quarterbacks that will be can't-miss prospects.
Right.
I just can't get all freaked out.
Right.
Like so many of you are.
And if they're in that 5-12 category, guess what? They're going to be right there back in the top 10 once again. Here's the thing. The consistency of message. Just from Bronco fans, from our little buddy in the afternoon, the lack of consistency of just messaging. One thing about this show, you can dislike it, and you can dislike my opinion or Mike's opinion, but I don't flutter like a leaf in the wind when it comes to what I believe wins football. My message of consistency has been the same. So in the same breath that the texter says, we're 5-12 we're 5-12 now. You're the same guy that was praising PFF when they said you have the sixth best roster. How's the sixth best roster in the NFL go 5-12? Well, it's because we don't have a quarterback. You think a rookie quarterback is going to make you better than 5-12? Honestly, if you think you take Justin Fields or Mac Jones, that's going to put you over 5-12? So which is it? You guys got the best roster in the world and you win nine games with Teddy Bridgewater or not? You got a top six roster? Do you win or not? Do you not have a top six roster and you need a quarterback and Justin Fields gets you, 9-7, 10-6? I mean, stop it. The consistency of message has been this. If you're not in love with that guy that plays quarterback, get yourself a real live football player. A real live football player. And build your damn roster. And make it better. And hey man, I trust this. I trust that George Payton sees this roster much like I see this roster, not like PFF sees this roster. Some English dude that's a economics major sees this roster.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.